This is Global Tellink. You have a prepaid call from an inmate. This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded. To accept this call, say or dial 5 now. Thank you for using Global Tellink.
Initially, I went in a downward spiral of poor coping skills. It took a great deal of time to find my better self. This is my first experience with the judicial system, county jail, and prison. I'm what people in prison society call a first-termer. I earned myself a life sentence on my very first criminal offense. As I shared before, I came in with a criminal and gang mentality. I, like most prisoners, hid my emotions and resorted to the I don't care mindset because it was convenient. I'm sure those of us that are parents are familiar with our children resorting to this form of coping. Children may even be familiar with their parents resorting to it as well. It's most useful when we want to avoid taking responsibility, whether it be for admitting our wrongs or for correcting them. I expressed this through my thoughts and it filtered out through my attitude and behavior in prison. I discovered the hard way that the loyalty I believed existed amongst my homeboys really didn't exist. Early in my incarceration, I noticed the mother of my children wasn't coming home at night. She moved in with someone I considered my friend, mainly because we were from the same gang. I was devastated and completely broken inside. Betrayal, coupled with my life sentence, festered inside me. I put my I don't care coping into overdrive. Suppressing my emotions and avoiding responsibility was instinctive as I gradually found myself involved in illegal activity. Selling drugs was a part of my criminality and a way to boost my self-esteem. Not to mention I was a people's person and I was pretty good at it too. Any form of power and control was essential to my emotional stability. They were vital needs when everything seemed to be collapsing around me. Tending to other people's problems was an escape from reality and having to address my own problems. I wasn't familiar with being single, so I began to manipulate to feed my ego. I built relationships off of my criminal intentions and financial gains. Moving around money had to be done from the outside. I was only good at making money on the inside. I was self-deceived and really had no clue the harm I was inflicting on my community at the time. I had every excuse as to why I wasn't the villain, rationalizing why the addict was. It was my way of protecting my wrongs and shifting blame because the problem couldn't have been myself. Who knew that addiction stems from deep trauma? Who knew it destroyed relationships to the core? I had been so blinded by self-gratification, profit, and ego that I couldn't see the poison I was dispersing into the prison community. I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to anyone that has been affected by addiction. I see now that I contributed to your suffering. I took advantage of weakness and vulnerability. I damaged lives and relationships. I was a coward for that. It took many years of maturity, life experience, and deep reflection to realize how small I was to prey on those who were suffering from addiction. Back to the question at hand and how I deal with life and my sentence today. Through self-help groups, courses, and workshops, I've come to learn that I myself created my own circumstances, including my life sentence. One of the most important steps to changing the way I deal with life, circumstances, and reality was finding forgiveness. I took a forgiveness workshop that forced me to revisit very painful experiences in my life and dealt with the resentments they left behind. My assignment was to make a list of people I believed offended me at some point in my life. Put them in order of greatest impact. Choose one and write a letter of forgiveness. Juggling between my father's absence and the betrayal of my girlfriend and friend, I chose what was heaviest on my heart at the time. Betrayal. I couldn't finish the first paragraph because the emotion was so raw and uncontrollable. I couldn't hold back the tears. It was like I went back through a portal of sadness, anger, and pain. Emotions that I conditioned myself to hide and that I never wanted to re-experience again. I didn't know I was in search of this inner healing, but I know now. Discovering that these deep-seated resentments still had an effect on my moral compass, I knew healing from these imaginary offenses were essential to my duty to address and correct my poor behavioral patterns. I knew that thinking and speaking foul about the mother of my children would only be a form of attacking their pride and identity. I learned that to love them wholeheartedly is to love their mother as well, regardless of her poor choices. True forgiveness is the only way. Today I tell this story in group discussions in hopes that someone listening can find it in their heart to find resolve in a damaged relationship and discover the importance of righting their wrongs. True happiness and inner peace are things we naturally desire at some point in our lives, yet can only exist when we are willing to let go of resentment. It is our responsibility to find the most effective way to communicate with those who have impacted us, if doing so does not produce further harm. I make it a point in my everyday life to solicit forgiveness in a society where all men are to some degree driven by past trauma and carry unresolved issues on their shoulders. One man at a time, I will continue to trudge this path to make our community better.